Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, happy Monday to you. We are headed to the month of March, our final week of February, coming out of a very big weekend, in fact, a very big Sunday to be specific. How about Indiana basketball? They beat Penn State at home. They played really well for the most part of the game. Penn State had won 4 straight road games and is in a very good standing in the Big Ten Conference. And for Indiana to win on the road last week at Minnesota, to win a home game, a big one against a quality opponent like Penn State, a huge and very much needed week for the Indiana basketball program last week, and Sunday's win was absolutely huge. I think as far as getting to the NCAA tournament, Indiana could have still done it and may not do it now. Who knows? But Indiana could have lost yesterday and still found a way to the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure many people thought Indiana would win that one, but to win the game yesterday puts Indiana, I feel like, in a good position the rest of the way. Looking at their schedule, looking at what is left, they now have an overall record of 18-9. Conference record sits at 500 right now, 8 wins and 8 losses. Ahead for this Indiana team, next up Thursday, so later this week at Purdue, which again, it's a road game, it's a rivalry game, but it is a winnable game for Indiana. Then they go to open the month of March at Illinois. That'll be a tough road game. Then 2 home games to finish the way. A lot of people say Indiana needs another win. Some people will tell you 2. I think they get 2 wins between now and the end of the season, especially if they continue doing some of the things they did last week, especially in the game on Sunday against Penn State. But a lot of things to be excited about. Indiana not turning it over as much. Their defenses look better. Their defense was really good yesterday outside of the stretch Penn State had where they came racing back into the game to not only take the lead but to build a little bit of a lead there for a bit as well. But Indiana, to me, looks like a very improved team. The question mark is, as it always is with this team and program the last number of years, when you see some improvement, can they continue that? Will they build on the momentum that they have right now? I can recall so many instances where Indiana gets a big win or a certain player plays well or something goes right for the team maybe that hadn't been going right, and they don't build on it. It kind of dissipates, goes away. But a big week for Indiana, 68-60 win yesterday at home against Penn State. Now it gets them squared up for a big game at Purdue on Thursday. This Big Ten Conference, we've said it all year, it's a lot of fun. It's going to come down to the very end. The win yesterday, and again, there's still obviously some weeks of the season to go and 4 games for Indiana. Most teams have 4 or 5 games left on their conference schedule, depending on how things are laid out. But the win was big because if the tournament started today, the Big Ten tournament, that is, Indiana would be a 10 seed, which is important because it gets them off of that dreaded first day of Big Ten tournament play on Wednesday. So Indiana with some work to do to hold that seed, and the possibility is there to improve the seed. Again, I think at Purdue, with how this Indiana team is playing right now, is a very, very winnable game. I think Illinois is tough, but Minnesota at home, Wisconsin at home to close the season, the potential really is there for 3 victories. I'm not sure Indiana will get those 3 of four remaining on their schedule, but really the potential is there with how they played last week and especially how they built on what they did at Minnesota and played even better against Penn State, I thought, who obviously is a better team. So that was a great way to start the day if you're an Indiana fan, an early tip, a noon tip in that contest yesterday. And then, of course, yesterday afternoon we had the pairings for the upcoming high school boys basketball state tournament. Always a fun day. You get the pairings, you get the storylines, you get to look at the potential matchups, you see where the favorites are at in the bracket, you see where the underdogs are at, you get to place where the good matchups are going to happen. Does it work out that maybe the two best teams in sectionals will meet in the championship game if it all plays out? In some sectionals, that'll be the case. Others, maybe not so much. Some early matchups, even opening night matchups. I tell you what, I saw up in Indianapolis. We talk about the draw being important in some of our local sectionals, especially Seymour a lot. But up in Indianapolis, Lawrence North and Lawrence Central, who've both been top five, top 10 all season long. Lawrence Central absolutely crushed Silver Creek, one of their two losses this season at the Hall of Fame Classic. They play each other right out of the gate on the opening night of sectional play. You want to talk about a crazy opener that'll be packed. Lawrence Township there just outside of Indianapolis, basically in Indianapolis. That will be a big battle. But locally, we've got the pairings. We've got some good matchups right away, and it's going to be interesting to take a look at these things. Yesterday had so much fun. We always do. Lee Kelly was with me. We had our own tournament pairing special here on the Big X. We had seven coaches locally with us, and we had Justin Soaklin join us as well to recap things. And a lot of fun hearing from the coaches about their thoughts on the pairings and how their teams are doing and gearing up for the state tournament and talking about some specific things with each team. Always fun to have those coaches with us. We tried to pick some of the favorites in the local sectionals with our Clark and Floyd County teams, but fun to catch up with those coaches yesterday. If you missed that tournament pairing special that was presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling, you can log on to Apple Podcast and search for the Hoosier Report. We have a podcast up every day. You can find our show. That pairing special is available up there as well. Also on SoundCloud, just point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. But it was great to have the coaches with us. Good stuff from a lot of them, most of them, all of them, and appreciate them coming on. It was a fun 2 hours and 15 minutes or so. It goes by so quick, but great to hear from them on such a special day now that the pairings are set. And if you don't know the pairings, so I'm going to tell the local pairings to you here in just a moment when we get into our headlines along with some storylines from these local sectionals as well. So stay with us for that today. Let's get into the show. Our show lineup, it's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, more on the IU win over Penn State yesterday and IU's chances for the NCAA tournament with that big win at home at Assembly Hall yesterday. Segment two, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star will join. And, of course, you know we're going to talk IU basketball. We're going to recap just about everything that went on yesterday. Lots of positives right now for this Indiana team. I mentioned better defense. Their turnover percentage has went down. Indiana looking like a team that is learning some lessons from its bad moments in the middle part of this season. We'll see if that continues against Purdue coming up later this week. But all about Indiana's win yesterday with Zach coming up in segment two. Then later in the show, Chad Gilbert, great time of year to have him with us, former coach, IHSA executive board member for Southern Indiana. He's also the athletic director at Charlestown High School. He joins us, and of course we're going to talk about the boys state tournament pairings that came out on Sunday. Lots of things to get into there. Also, we had some great semi-state basketball at Jeffersonville. Todd Satterley, the athletic director there, great job hosting that event. Really great crowd. I'm not sure if it was a sellout or not, but that 3A game between rivals, really, Salem and Brownstown at Jeffersonville was packed. Lawrence North beat Bedford in the second game, but Salem is the most local team we have moving on to the girls' state finals, which will be played Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So we'll catch up on that as well with Chad. That is the lineup for today's show. Stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison that you're a listener, and you'll receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can interact with the show. Love to get a question or comment from you if you've got something you want to say about this Indiana team or your thoughts on the tournament pairings yesterday. Maybe a question on IU for Zach, a question about local high school basketball and the pairings for Chad Gilbert. You can get them to me a few different ways. Follow me on Twitter, at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me or DM me your question there. And on Facebook, we have a page. You can follow the Hoosier Report by liking our page, podcasts, show updates, links to things we talk about on the show. And you can also send us a question or comment there as well. We appreciate having you with us and appreciate your comments, those of you that do take time to send those in on a regular basis. Let's jump into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Indiana yesterday raced out to an 18-6 lead about 8 minutes into the game, so fairly early on in the first half of play. That lead went on to build 24-8 with about 9.5 minutes left in the first half of play. A 16-point lead for Indiana over Penn State at that juncture of the game. And as good as Indiana was playing, and as much as was going right for the team, you just knew that this Penn State team, if you've watched other games, if you followed how they play, how they win, even in some of their losses, it's a team that makes runs. They get down or they get ahead, then the game gets tight or they make a run back. And so you knew they were going to make a run at it at some point in the first half later on or to open the second half. And that's exactly what happened in the second half of play. Indiana led 37-24, a pretty nice lead over a good team like Penn State at halftime. But the Nittany Lions in the second half opened on a 30-5 run in total, which gave Penn State the lead. I think they got ahead by maybe as many as 6 or 7 points as part of that 30-5 run. But Indiana came back. Lots of resilience, lots of in-game adjustments, lots of in-game improvements. And this Indiana team showed that even in a tough game, even in a back-and-forth game, they can battle through some of the adversity, which was so big yesterday for Indiana. Trace Jackson Davis, double-double, his 9th of the season as a freshman. Last week we were talking about Archie Miller's comments about Trace and should he be the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Archie Miller absolutely thinks so. I can't imagine that he won't be the Big Ten Freshman of the Year. I'm sure there are cases for other freshmen in the conference, but Trace Jackson Davis yesterday, 13 points, 10 rebounds, again, his 9th double-double of his freshman season. He has been so good and so consistent. I knew he was going to be good. I think we all did coming out of Center Grove. He's got great bloodlines. He obviously had a tremendous basketball career in high school. A lot of local teams played Center Grove, got a chance to see him in the tournament. He always stepped up in big game scenarios in his high school career, and he got so much better from freshman year of high school to sophomore to junior, and of course junior to senior. So I don't know why anyone's surprised, including myself, that he's been as good or as consistent as he's been, because he did nothing but get better each and every year in high school. And obviously he got better between senior year of high school and freshman year of college. He has a bright future ahead of him. He's already said he's coming back to Indiana next season, and that obviously is huge for this Indiana team moving ahead, to see if he stays one more year, more than that. But Trace has got some great days of playing basketball ahead of him. He's been terrific for this Indiana program in some of the moments when they've needed him the most. Also yesterday, Race Thompson, really good game. He's become, I think, someone that Indiana fans are relying upon to be a factor of some way, some shape in these games. 8 points yesterday, 4 of 6 shooting yesterday, pulled down 4 rebounds in the contest yesterday. And again, a very solid game for him, coming off a good game against Minnesota, playing in his home state last week. Another good game on Sunday for him as he joins a very good balanced effort yesterday. 14 points from Al Durham. I mentioned the 13 from Jackson Davis, 10 from Devontae Green, 9 points from Justin Smith, 8 points from Race Thompson, 7 points from Rob Finnessy. I thought Rob looked good yesterday. Again, Indiana, as you expect, if they're going to beat a team like Penn State, going to have to be very balanced and very good throughout, and that's what Indiana was yesterday. A couple other things from the game. Obviously, we talk a lot about defense. It's been a clear problem for this Indiana team. I thought that, again, outside of the run Penn State made to not only get back in the game but to take the lead, and that's going to happen. There are going to be runs. There are going to be moments where defense is better or not as good. That's understandable. It's when you go a whole game with no effort or a whole game of just getting sliced up that I think concerns start to arise. But Indiana's defense was a lot better, and I didn't really realize this until I was reading a story this morning on Inside the Hall, but Indiana, their turnover problem, this is the third straight game that Indiana finished with a turnover percentage that's below its 17 average, or excuse me, below its season average. The Hoosiers, 12 turnovers yesterday for a turnover percentage of 17.2 in Sunday's win. Indiana is ranked as 12th in league play in turnover percentage. So, again, a good couple games for Indiana here recently trying to work on that number. And obviously turnovers and defense, when you improve both of them, you've got some good things coming your way, and that's exactly what happened yesterday with a very good balanced performance for Indiana against Penn State. How does this affect the Big Ten tournament? As of today, after the conclusion of last night's games, Indiana would be a 10 seed. They would take on 7th-seeded Michigan as things stand right now in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. So they would avoid that last day, or that first day, excuse me, of conference play. On that day, it would be Minnesota, Northwestern, Purdue, Nebraska at this point. And again, it's important that Indiana stay as the 10th Big Ten team or higher, not just for Big Ten tournament purposes, but there's a lot of people that think no matter how good and how tough and how much the Big Ten has been a battle conference this year, that only 10 teams from the conference will make the NCAA tournament. There were times when there was talk about 11, a lot more talk about 10 right now. So for Indiana to stay 10 or higher, that obviously helps their cause, as well as they do try to do everything they can these last four games to get NCAA tournament eligible. A lot more on IU coming up in the next segment with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Real quick, I want to hit the sectional pairings. Most of you have probably seen them by now. Hopefully you were with us yesterday for our tournament pairing special. Class 4A, sectional 15 at Seymour, Lloyd E. Scott Gymnasium, one of my favorite places to be in the month of March. On Tuesday, Jeffersonville, 16-5. They are going to open against Seymour, who has the worst record in the sectional, but they've got 8 wins and 12 losses. They're clearly improved. Took New Albany to overtime, did Seymour on the Bulldogs' home court. That's who Jeff will open up with on Tuesday. That second game Tuesday night, New Albany, a rematch with Jennings County, who they played just a week and a half or 2 weeks ago in a regular season contest. Then on Friday, could be, should be a fun night to be in Seymour. Floyd Central at 15-6. They're going to get the winner of Jeff and Seymour. So very likely Floyd Central and Jeffersonville, big rematch. It was a 3-point game, a win for Jeffersonville in the regular season. That second game on Friday, Bedford North Lawrence, 14-9 record. They're going to get the winner of New Albany and Jennings County. Jennings County beat Bedford in the regular season. New Albany beat Jennings County in the regular season. Then they beat Bedford on Friday, but it was a 3-point game in the home finale for the Bulldogs on Friday night. So that tells you if New Albany can win that opening game against Jennings County, that Bedford rematch will be a tough one. How about this? Floyd, Jeff, Bedford, New Albany, a Final Four at the Seymour Sectional. wouldn't that be fun on Friday, March 6th? It should be a great crowd if it all plays out that way. And, of course, lots of teams, Seymour, Jennings County, obviously want to spoil those plans. 3A, Sectional 30 at Cordon, no question about it. Silver Creek, the big favorite. However, Silver Creek and North Harrison will likely do battle in the semifinal round. Silver Creek 21-2, North Harrison 16-5. North Harrison, the best team to challenge Silver Creek in the sectional field and the Mid-Southern Conference field in the regular season. On Tuesday, March 3rd, Madison will take on Salem, just one game at Cordon on Tuesday night. Then Wednesday, March 4th, Charlestown takes on Silver Creek. North Harrison takes on Cordon Central. Friday, March 6th, Scottsburg, they get the winner of Madison and Salem, and then the winners of the Charlestown, Silver Creek, and North Harrison, Cordon Central game will take place on that Friday. 2A, Sectional 45 at Southwestern. I'll tell you what, two things about this sectional. I really like Providence's draw and, of course, Southwestern Hanover with some off-the-court issues, coach resigning last week and leaving the program. They're going to open, Southwestern is, in sectional play against Clarksville. Southwestern 14-8. Clarksville 13-7. In addition to saying that Providence has a good draw, don't be surprised if the Generals knock off Southwestern in that opening game of sectional play. That could be a really good one. Southwestern struggled Friday against Scottsburg without their head coach. Obviously, lots of turmoil in that program, but that's the opener, Clarksville and Southwestern on Tuesday, March 3rd. Providence takes on Austin also on March 3rd. Then Friday, Henryville, another one of our Clark and Floyd County teams, they get the winner of Clarksville Southwestern, and Switzerland County gets the winner of Providence and Austin in that second semifinal game. Class 1A, Sectional 61, Borden is a great place to be in March as well. Always a fun sectional, always great crowds there as well. Borden will open with New Washington, New Wash the favorite. They've got 13 wins, Borden just 6 wins this season, but they're playing better basketball. Don't be surprised if Borden can't pull an upset in that opening game. South Central and Rock Creek, they play the second opening round game on Tuesday, March 3rd. The semifinals on Friday, Lanesville at 12-10 will take on the Borden New Washington winner, and Christian Academy, the favorite, at least on paper, at 15-7. They will take on the South Central Rock Creek winner in that second semifinal on Friday night. That's a look at the headlines for this Monday edition of the program. Our headlines each day brought to you by Zaxby's, the home of the famous hand-breaded, hand-seasoned chicken fingers, fresh salads, and saucy wings, all made to order. And, of course, Zaxby's with location in New Albany and Jeffersonville as well for you to enjoy. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back in just a couple minutes with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star on IU basketball, the NCAA tournament, and more. And then still ahead, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, former coach, IHSA board member, more on the sectional pairings and other local stuff with Chad still ahead today. We'll be back. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Monday edition of the program. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with me. And, Zach, a big, big day yesterday for Indiana basketball. They won at home. They won against a very good Penn State team and took, I think, a big step in making the NCAA tournament. Still some work to go. Still some wins needed, I think, to be safe about things. But all the way around, from performances individually, improvements with some areas of the team, defense and turnovers I mentioned in the first segment that were much better yesterday. And, again, a big step toward the NCAA tournament. All around, a great day for Indiana basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I would say a great day. I think a great week. I think if you want to talk about, you know, where Indiana is from a tournament perspective, as much as you can ever put a magic number on this sort of thing, I think Indiana's probably one win away. Certainly if that one win comes in its next two at Purdue or at Iowa, adds another road win. You're looking at Indiana. We've talked about this so many times, but now it becomes sort of less theoretical and more real. Indiana has no bad losses. Indiana has a large quantity of quad one wins. I mean, Indiana's got as many quadrant one wins as Kentucky and Maryland, I think tied for fifth most in the country. From Indiana's perspective, Sunday was maybe the most important of those wins, at least in a while, because of where Penn State is, and obviously just sort of the perception that Indiana, I don't want to say needed a signature win, but it was always going to help Indiana to play one of the better teams in the Big Ten at home, kind of riding the crest of this wave here at the end of February and beat that team. But it's also, you're allowed to maybe control your own narrative a little bit here. When Indiana lost to Michigan, you said, oh, this team's lost 5 of 6. Well, now all of a sudden, because Indiana's won 2 in a row, instead you look back to that Iowa win and you see you get to act like Michigan is the outlier and they've won 3 of 4. I just think Indiana has seized chances that, frankly, some other teams in the Big Ten right now aren't. Purdue, Rutgers, Minnesota primarily among them. And so Indiana set itself up to really kind of control its own destiny here down the stretch.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, talking about Indiana's win over Penn State. There's some individual player stuff I want to get into with you, but before we do that, your thoughts, and this is kind of just a reoccurring question after each win or even losses, what exactly Indiana needs to do to punch that ticket to the dance for sure. Yesterday, I think, takes a little pressure off and definitely helps in a big way, but is it a win? Is it 2 wins? What exactly is the formula that keeps Indiana in this field? Because they're definitely in it right now as things stand.
I mean, as I said earlier, I think one more win. Certainly 2 more. And, you know, Indiana's got 2 home games remaining. Wisconsin and Minnesota, they'll probably be favored in both of those. It's very hard to kind of get a sense for who Indiana's going to see in the Big Ten tournament early on here just yet. You don't want to – I think the one thing that's always kind of flagged at the back end of Indiana's resume is, would Indiana wind up in a situation where it had to go to Indianapolis and avoid a loss to a Nebraska or a Northwestern? I think quietly – the biggest thing Indiana could get out of a win Thursday night at Purdue would be another quality road win. The second biggest thing would be breaking a long losing streak against Purdue and an even longer losing streak at Purdue. Another thing that quietly would give Indiana a real advantage there is it would all but guarantee that Indiana would stay ahead of Purdue in the standings, and that would make it a lot more likely Indiana, no matter where it winds up in the Big Ten, wouldn't play until Thursday of the Big Ten tournament. If we can presume that Indiana doesn't lose to either Nebraska or Northwestern again, you know, this season, they haven't lost them at all, but doesn't play them and therefore doesn't lose to them this season, I think one more win gets it done. I certainly think one more road win gets it done, and I certainly think 2 more home wins locks it up for good. And I've said this many times when people have asked, go look at who's on the bubble. It's not great, and it's a lot of teams out of conferences that are just very weak, you know, and conferences where there's just a lot of empty calories that there aren't in the Big Ten. And I also kind of have a bit of a working theory that we might be surprised at where the Big Ten as a whole conference winds up seated on Selection Sunday, because the committee looks at the Big Ten and maybe the Big East too, and just says these two conferences were so head and shoulders more competitive than literally everybody else in the country that we're going to give them just a little bit more emphasis, a little bit more weight. You're going to have to, you know, how the committee looks at different teams and kind of evaluates the field. Is it, you know, a moving target from year to year because the profiles of different teams are always a little bit different? But I think that as the committee draws up its rubric for this season, I could see a world, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I could see a world where they look at the Big Ten and, like I said, possibly the Big East and just say, these two conferences were just so much better than everybody else that we're dealing with, that we're going to, you know, we're kind of going to put them just that sort of, you know, one rung up the ladder from the other Power Five schools or the other Power Five conferences. So I think it's possible that from a practical standpoint, Indiana is locked in today, even if they were to lose out. But I certainly think that one more win gets it done, and I don't see a world at all where Indiana reaches 20 wins and is not safely in the tournament, not even Dayton or, you know, sneaking in as one of the last 11s or something like that. I'm talking about safely, comfortably in.
Zach, 10, 11, how many teams do you see the Big Ten getting in? There was talk, I think, earlier a week or two ago, maybe 11. It would be unbelievable if that happened. I've heard more recently that 10 is the number said. But the conference is really good, and you kind of mentioned if you look at the bubble, which is a great point, some of the teams that are on the bubble aren't anywhere near have the resumes of some of the Big Ten teams that are in that 10, 11, even 12 spot. Could it be 11, or do you think it'll be 10 for the Big Ten when it all's said and done?
Yeah, I think as long as Rutgers and Indiana – and I guess maybe to some extent Illinois and Wisconsin can just add one or two more. And Rutgers actually quietly, if you look at their remaining games, and I know we don't, you know, we're talking mostly about Indiana here, but you look at Rutgers' remaining games, they might have a tricky time of it. I don't believe they have won away from home all season. But it's not hard for me to see the Big Ten getting – it's very easy for me to see the Big Ten getting 9. It's not at all difficult for me to see the Big Ten getting 10. 11 feels a little trickier. You know, Minnesota is now 13-13. They've lost 6 of their last 9 games. You know, their only win since February 5th is against Northwestern. You know, they've missed some real opportunities at home to add quality wins. Iowa, Indiana, you know, they've got some nice wins and even some nice wins away from home. They won at Ohio State, for example, a win against Oklahoma State that I think was played in Tulsa. So, you know, the committee will look at that and probably see that as even maybe better than slightly better than a neutral site win. But just overall, they're kind of trending in the wrong direction. And then, of course, the other one's Purdue. You know, Purdue looked like it was kind of catching fire when it just beat the brakes off Iowa and then came to Indiana and won, but the Boilermakers haven't won a game since then. And in 3 of those 4 losses, you know, that they haven't even really been that close. I know they only lost by 8 to Michigan on Saturday, but that game, if you watched it, did not feel it. I mean, Michigan had Purdue at arm's length pretty much the entire way in that game. And you really are in a situation, I think, if you're Purdue, where if you don't win Thursday against Indiana, and you would favor Purdue to win that game, of course, but if Purdue doesn't win that game, I think it's over for them. And so, you know, barring some unbelievable run in the Big Ten tournament. So I think 10 is really doable. I think to get 11, you would probably need one of Minnesota or Purdue to make some real noise in Indianapolis. And then you could get into a situation where, you know, you would also need Rutgers, Indiana, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin, none of those teams to just absolutely collapse down the stretch as well. So if you ask me to peg it, I'd say 10 probably at this point.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us talking IU basketball. I wanted to bring up Race Thompson. I know there's lots of specific player things we can talk about after the week that Indiana had and the win they had yesterday at home. But he's had a good couple games and has become fairly consistent for this Indiana team. And I think that what's most intriguing about him to me is it's not just offense or defense. He's been factors for Indiana in these wins on both sides of the ball.
He's finally, I mean, I think in the individual sense, he's finally kind of gotten the opportunity to really push, you know, for significant playing time without injuries, without, you know, fighting through some sort of setback personally. And you're seeing what he can do. You know, Archie Miller's talked about him as one of, for a long time now, as one of Indiana's most physical players, one of Indiana's better rebounders. I thought it was telling that his defense helped kind of turn the tide in both the Minnesota game and the Penn State game, and yet he was defending two very different types of players. You know, Minnesota, he was having to help on Daniel Oturu. Penn State, he was having to deal with Lamar Stevens, and he embraced both challenges, and I thought did well in both. I think more broadly, it's reflective of this team getting deep at the right time. Again, if you sort of remove Michigan and recognize that just nobody was good at Michigan, Indiana struggled as one whole team that day. Indiana is plus 56 in bench points in its last three wins, and some of that's skewed by the fact that Devontae Green went off against Iowa, and Iowa basically doesn't have a bench right now. But nevertheless, Indiana was at least, I think, plus 13 in each of its last three wins in bench points. And you've seen even that Michigan game, you know, obviously Indiana struggles, but Deron Davis scores 18 off the bench. Indiana's finally getting some of the depth that we heard Archie Miller talk about, where, you know, I mean, you think all the way back to September, October, when he was saying, we're going to be at our best if we're a deep team. Well, what he means is not necessarily that you're just running out bodies for the sake of saying you have depth. You're not just throwing guys in the game sort of piecemeal so that everybody gets to play a bunch of minutes. But look at Sunday as an example. Joey Brunk struggles, only plays 6 minutes. He's 0-1 from the floor. He's in foul trouble when he is in the game. But here comes Race Thompson playing really well. You know, Deron Davis did the same thing at Michigan. You know, Indiana as a team had some foul trouble in the post on Sunday, and it never really seemed to materialize into anything super serious because Indiana could keep rolling more guys out there that could give them good minutes. Justin Smith, another game we talk about, he only has 9 points. He only takes 4 shots. But 8 rebounds, a couple of really big steals, played great defense last 10 minutes of the game, defense plus rebounding last 10 minutes of the game. And so it's the idea that you look at it and you say, when Indiana's playing well, where do you go to shut this team off? And it's not always necessarily for scoring. You know, I mean, Indiana's leading scorer Sunday, Al Durham, only had 14 points. But you say, well, where do you attack this team? Because when we try to attack them in the post, they just keep rolling fresh bodies at us. When we try to go to our wing scorers, you know, what Iowa did with Joe Wieskamp, obviously Penn State leaned hard on Lamar Stevens on Sunday. They've got multiple guys they can throw at those players and really give those players different looks defensively in a lot of trouble. And that's not saying Indiana's perfect, but when Indiana's playing well, because of the emergence of Jerome Hunter maybe in January and now Race Thompson here in February, you are starting to see an Indiana team that gets that depth. And it's worth pointing out, as much as we start to really think in you know, sort of hard and fast terms about Indiana's NCAA tournament potential, depth is something that travels, and the ability to withstand foul trouble travels. And so I think that it's very encouraging to see what Race Thompson is doing from an individual perspective. And maybe remember that this is a kid who had a dozen high major offers. He was a top 100 player out of Minnesota. It was a minor coup when Archie Miller got him to, you know, not just commit, but sign and reclassify in 2017. But from a team-wide perspective, I think it's also reflective of some very positive developments for Indiana as a whole.
Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays as we talk IU basketball. Big week, big win for Indiana on Sunday and last week. And, of course, now it's Purdue on the road Thursday, which will be an interesting game, I'm sure, as well. Zach, as always, thanks for all the great insight. And you can read Zach's coverage at indystar.com/sports. Talk with you again next Monday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes, sir. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. And don't forget, if you missed our tournament pairing special yesterday. It's 2+ hours. We had on 7 local coaches to talk about this year's tournament draw and their teams and the close of the season coming up as well. You can find that on Apple Podcast. You can also find it on SoundCloud, as you can all of our podcasts, the Hoosier Report, other local programming as well. We have it there for you. But make sure you check it out. Lots of interesting things from the coaches. Always fun to hear what they have to say about the tournament draws and talk about that time of year, which we all know the next few weeks, very special here in the state of Indiana with our high school state tournament. We'll talk more about that with Chad Gilbert in the next segment and more as we come back from a commercial break right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of this Monday program. Chad Gilbert is with me. Chad is IHSA Executive Board member, Charlestown Athletic Director, former coach, and joins me Monday as we talk some local sports headlines. Chad, tournament pairings out yesterday from Indianapolis, always a special day in our state and, of course, in this area as well. We get to track some of our favorite locations and teams for postseason activities and who's going to play who and what the path to a championship looks like. And, Chad, obviously some interesting storylines as we look at the pairings. I'm curious what your thoughts were yesterday when you got a chance to see the locals.
Well, Matt, I'll let you handle going through each section, and we'll go through that one. But what a great time of year this is, you know, for fans like you and I. You know, this is the time of year that you hope you're just common fan. You're a fan of Jeffersonville. You're a fan of Charlestown, New Albany, Floyd Central, Borden, wherever it is, Clarksville. They come out and just support your team. You know, you'd like to see that all 22 games of the year, but this is a sectional time. This is a special time. You know, when I'm talking to you, Matt, you know, I can feel goosebumps on my arms because this is something that you've practiced your whole year for. Since last year ended, you've worked all summer. You've worked your preseason. You practiced. You played games all winter long to get to this point. And, you know, you think about that, Matt. What makes this tournament so special? You know, the NBA, the best team wins. Baseball, usually the best team wins. But in basketball, in the NCAA tournament, in the IHSA tournament, it's one and done. So you don't have to be the best team to advance. You just have to be the best team that night. So when you think about that, Matt, it was really something special. Now, one thing that's kind of, you know, Jay Ray from Scottsburg come up with this. He said, why don't we do the drawings at the start of the season? That way you have all year long to know who you're going to play in the sectional to prepare for that first round opponent, which is kind of a cool idea, but it takes away from that drawing to know who you got to play. You've got from right now, you've got from Monday to next Tuesday to be prepared for your first-round sectional. A lot of fun, a lot of pressure, and a lot of excitement.
Chad, let's go through some of the local sectionals. I want to start first with Seymour. New Albany gets the draw on the opposite side of Floyd and Jeff. And if things play out the way they should and could, if the favorites win, what a Friday night that'll be in Seymour with Jeff, Floyd Central, New Albany, Bedford. And again, I say this, I can get ahead of myself if it all works out that way.
Matt, you know, we remember talking last year about this sectional, and what we both agreed on is the best teams usually win. Well, that team last year was Jeffersonville. There's no doubt Jeffersonville is the best team. Jeffersonville, again, this year has to be the favorite coming in because, you know, they won the conference outright. They've won 11 of their last 12, I think, or 10 of their last 11. Beat a good Ballard team on the road at Ballard. But the other guys, there are no flukes in there. You think about they beat Floyd Central on a bank shot. New Albany and Jeff were heated back and forth. Bedford beats Jeff at home, which is not an easy task. So to pick a winner in this section, and we talked about a team who is well-coached, a Kirk Mann Seymour team playing at home. Jeffersonville needs to have their guard up for that first-round game. Who's going to win that sectional? Your guess is as good as mine. I couldn't tell you who would win even make a prediction until the championship game, because I don't know who's going to get there. And I think if, you know, being a fan of the Hoosier Hills Conference, I think that you would say the same thing. It's going to be hard telling who's going to get out there. There's no playing out to how you think it's going to be played out, because the teams are so evenly matched. That's going to be a great sectional at Seymour.
And to close, as we go to another one, Justin Soakland said this yesterday on our tournament pairing special. If you look at the bottom half of the bracket, Bedford has lost to Jennings County and New Albany, who obviously one of their potential opponents or is one of those teams they'll play in the semifinal. If you look at the top half of the bracket, if Bedford could get to the championship, they've beat all those teams, Seymour, Jeffersonville, and Floyd Central. So just kind of crazy how things work out. And that I thought was a good example summarizing what a wild year it's been for the Hoosier Hills Conference, but also for teams that make up that sectional at Seymour. Chad, you've had so much going on hosting the girls sectional and then a regional as well. You don't have the boys sectional, 3A sectional 30. It's at Cordon. That's where Silver Creek's obviously the big favorite.
You know, we will have the sectional next year. To me, I think Charlestown is the best place for teams to travel. I think it's the best place to host a sectional. However, you know, in our conference, we like to move the sectional around, and I understand that, and I get that, and that's great for their people to have and host. So Cordon does an outstanding job. John Atkins up there will do a great job hosting that sectional. And the bottom line is on that one, it's Silver Creek's to lose. You know, the state championship, Silver Creek's to lose. That's not pressure on Brandon's back. That's not anything on Brandon's back. Brandon knows he's the best team. Brandon knows what he's got, and Brandon's been there before. I will be shocked again, like I said, if they don't win the entire thing, because I think they're so well coached. I think they got such good players. But there's going to be some battles. You know, look for them in North Harrison to battle it out in the second round. And then, you know, looking ahead at the regional with Heritage Hills and stuff, there's going to be some tough games for the Dragons. But, you know, I've got 100% confidence in Brandon Hoffman and his team.
Absolutely. Talking with Chad Gilbert here in this final segment of the show. 2A at Southwestern. Some interesting things there, Chad. Southwestern thought of to be one of the favorites. Of course, their coach resigned last week. That's not something that happens every day in Indiana high school basketball, especially a legendary coach like Jerry Baumholt. On the other side, Providence playing well, Clarksville playing well. Clarksville gets Southwestern out of the gate. Providence, a nice draw on the opposite side of Southwestern and Clarksville. You look at those Clarksville-Providence scores, say they could beat the championship game. They've had some really close games with Providence coming out ahead twice in the regular season meeting and then, of course, the holiday tournament meeting as well. That could be interesting. I think Clarksville could get Southwestern. I think we could see a local sectional championship game up at Southwestern if a couple of things bounce right for the locals there.
I agree. And, you know, you're looking at a third matchup between Clarksville and Providence if things work out the way we think they will, and that will be an excellent ball game. You know, again, two well-coached teams, two teams with outstanding players, and two teams that play hard. They know each other, and it'll be the tournament. Execute or be executed. So it'll be a fun time at Southwestern.
Chad, we're wrapping things up. Your thoughts on 1A, where Christian Academy of Indiana is the favorite?
You know, Christian Academy, very good. We play there Thursday night. Again, Coach Kerbug always does a great job with his teams over there, so look forward to watching them Thursday, and I would think that they'll be the favorites to come out of there.
Chad Gilbert, always fun to catch up. Quick shout-out to Salem. The girls came out of your regional, and then, of course, to the Jeffersonville Semi-State, where they defeated Brownstown and will go to the state championship game in 3A this Saturday.
Jerry Hickey does a great job. Old buddy Hank Whedon, AD, is going to spend a lot of money this week. So good luck to those guys. Matt, one thing on that one. 8 of the 10 Mid-Southern Conference teams in girls basketball have made it to the state finals. 8 out of 10 in the Mid-Southern Conference. Pretty remarkable feat.
Great stuff. Chad Gilbert with me. Chad, that wraps it up for today. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday. We've got Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram, and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.